This morning, I want to share from a thought that God gave me on Wednesday. But before I do that, I want to say this. One of the internal challenges for me right now is, as a pastor, wanting to be sure that what's being shared is meeting everyone right where they're at. As a pastor, as an apostle, which is a different vantage point, there's a part of me that has the need to teach and share things that really help us be prepared for what's coming. And so while I'm going to share from what I shared Wednesday, I need you to know that I need to move us into some places to help you understand not just what's coming, what's already here. So let me give you an example. I sat in on a Zoom meeting with some leaders from around the country, around the world, this past week, and they had a guest speaker who was sharing about the church's need to be prepared for what's coming with AI, artificial intelligence. Now, I know many of you have heard that, but we have no idea the impact that it already has and that it will have in the coming years. And the church, the body of Christ, we must get ahead of certain things. We've got to get ahead of certain things. And so I'm listening to what's being shared, and I'm thinking about, I've got to begin to share this. I got to begin to teach this. I got to begin to get this out. I got to help us be ready. Got to help us be ready. Got to help us be ready. Because the truth is, and this is with any technology, because you know when the internet came out, you know, came to the forefront, you know, the Christians, that's of the devil, you know, so the church didn't get on the forefront of it until all the other ungodly things showed up. And then it was like, we got to do something, we got to do something. But now you're playing catch up. It's almost like every time there's a new technology that shows up, some say it's a computer, it's the devil. I'm talking about church folk. Kingdom folk don't think that way. So in this meeting of all these incredible leaders, the gentleman that's speaking, he says, most don't know that AI is at such a level now, it only needs 4 seconds of your recorded voice to talk just like you. 4 seconds. Now, why, Apostle, why are you saying something about that? Well, I think next week I'm going to talk about hearing and knowing the voice of God. Because you see, I need to think about this. If artificial intelligence has advanced to the place that in 4 seconds it can capture, all you got to talk for 4 seconds, and now it can talk, it can emulate your voice perfectly. That means it can make phone calls. We're talking about deception at a level you can't even imagine. And so as the church, as the body of Christ, one, We've got to be able to, one, discern the voice of God. But here's part of where this conversation went. And that is, this gentleman speaking, he said, so those of you who have young people, who have grandchildren, and you see that they seem to have that knack for technology. They seem to be bright in their learning. He said, now is the time to stir them in the direction of AI, because where you want them is right up in the midst of, see, this is how the kingdom is supposed to be operating. You're not on your job just so that you can get paid. You're there because it's supposed to be an assignment. And God forbid you're on that job and leave that job and you never understood you were really there for a reason beyond getting a paycheck. Because our source, your source, my source is God. The Bible says promotion is of the Lord. Whatever your profession is, whatever you're doing, God has created, he has gifted you, given you the ability to do it, but there is something beyond that job. That's why you can never allow the enemy to get you so messed up over the job that you just quit the job. You want to have a sense of what this assignment is about. So strategically, amongst these leaders, the conversation is, we got to start educating, getting our young people on the front end of this, that they begin to understand this is where things are and where they're going. And you got to begin to learn. You got to begin to get the information in you about artificial intelligence and what's coming, so that when those jobs open up, you can be right up there, so that the righteous influence, the kingdom influence, is right there in the midst of everything else that's going on. That's a good time to clap your hands. So you see, it's not just about, oh, I don't want to be deceived, but you know, if I hear something and that's really not. No, it's more than that. It's strategically putting individuals, and it starts now. Say it starts now. So if you got some young person, some teenager, some grandchildren, think about my grandchildren now, that are real bright, real smart. Hey, we need to start teaching you right now about this right here, so that when you grow up, you can be right there at the top of one of these companies. So when they start trying to make the decisions that they're making that have to do with an unrighteous culture, you can be right up in there with the authority. Is that making sense to you? Yeah. All right, so that's all I'm going to say about that. That was good, huh? Yeah. But I need to touch on this subject again. That it was a really just kind of like a download on Wednesday. I love how Holy Spirit just downloads something to you, you know? And it's kind of like the Holy Ghost Google, you know? I mean, he just starts telling you where to go and put it up. Just like, you know, it didn't really happen out of a study, you know. But I want to talk for a few moments now. And my brothers, how y'all doing? You doing good? All right. Doing good. We love you guys. I love you. And I hope that you hear something in this message that will really bless and encourage you as well. So listen, I want to talk to us for the next few moments about breaking the stronghold of failure. Breaking the stronghold of failure. The reality is in all of our lives, we've gone through moments and seasons of failure. It could be a failure in something that you planned that didn't come to fruition. As a matter of fact, when we talk about failure, or the word failure, one of the definitions is a failing to perform a duty or expected action. But unfortunately, we can have a lot of situations where we've had to navigate through failure. It could be failure in a marriage. It could be failure in estranged children. It could be failure in having launched out in a particular venture. There are so many people that are still navigating through having come through COVID, where they started a business on the front end before COVID even hit. And once it hit, they lost everything or everything shifted? How many of you can say, or how many of you have walked through a season where you planned something and it just didn't come together, and it just was failure? It just was failure. We all navigate through that. So I want to talk about breaking the stronghold of failure. And the reason why I say the stronghold of failure is because failure really has a lot to do with where you go in your mind. It really has a lot to do with where your thought processes go. And I'm going to show you here in this particular scenario, and it has to do with Peter. Say Peter. Peter was an interesting guy because Peter was one who was right up there with Jesus. Peter was the one that when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" and different ones said different things, Peter was the one that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father has." So Peter was a guy who was hitting, you know, he was on sometime and he was off other times. But in this one particular instance, and I'm reading now from Luke chapter 22, verse 24, it says this: "And there arose also a dispute among them," the disciples, as to which one was regarded to be the greatest. And he said, meaning Jesus, "The kings and the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you, but the one who is the greatest among you must become the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." It says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant to you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, Jesus is sharing that, and then there has to be something that transpired, maybe not at all, because Jesus knew his disciples. He knew them. But he says this: "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again," one translation says been converted, "strengthen your brethren." Strengthen your brothers. But Peter said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and death." And he said, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me." Denied three times that you know me. Interesting dynamic. He's telling him, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you get yourself together, strengthen your brethren. Peter says, "I'm ready to go with you to prison. I'm ready to go with you all the way to death." And Jesus says to him, "No, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." Peter was pretty confident, and it's not unlike sometimes when we're confident and we're really thinking we got it all planned out. We know exactly how it's going to go. I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. However, what Peter didn't realize, but realized later, is Jesus wasn't guessing. So in Mark 14:66, then we see how this thing unfolds. As Peter was below in the courtyard, excuse me, I'm sorry, y'all. As Peter was below in the courtyard, now here's the interesting thing. I don't have time to really go there. Yes, I do. Why am I acting like I'm in a hurry? It says, as Peter was below in the courtyard. Now, what's interesting about this is, now remember, this is the guy that said, I'm going to go with you all the way. I'm going to be right there with you. But this is what it says in Mark 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. And Peter had followed him at a distance. So he's following him, but he ain't right there with him. It's kind of like, I'm going to be right over here. And he's watching it. That's what it says here. Now, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came, seeing Peter warming himself. She looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus the Nazarene. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And he went out to the porch. The servant girl saw him, and once again, she began to say to the bystanders, this is one of them. But again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too. Now, in one translation, it says, no, you're one of them because your speech betrays you. That's what brings in this particular response this time, because it says he began to curse and swear. I do not know this man who you're talking about. And it says, immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he began to weep. I'm talking about breaking the stronghold of failure. It's hard to imagine what Peter was probably feeling right about then. Because as sure as he was about himself, now reality hits. And what he thought he would never ever do, he did. What I love about the redemptive work of the cross, what I love about the redeeming power of God, is that he has a way of identifying where we are and reaching us at that point. I believe one of the reasons this message is important, breaking the stronghold of failure, is because many times we can often just stop because we just feel like there's no use in trying this again. There's no use in going any further here. And it doesn't have to be the same failure over and over. It can be multiple things that happen that cause us to land in a place where now there's a stronghold of failure that moves us to the place of the fear of failure. It's in Mark 16 and verse 7, it says this. This is after Jesus' resurrection. He's talking to the women. He says, go. Now, one version says, go tell Peter and the disciples about the resurrection. In Mark 16 and 7, it says this. Go tell the disciples and Peter. This is the angel talking. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Tell the disciples and Peter. Why would he do that? Why would he say, tell the disciples and Peter? Because Jesus knew where Peter was at. Now, Peter was still with the 11 in body, but not in his mind. You can be sitting here in body, but not in your mind. All of you is not here. We know that Peter was with the rest of the disciples because when they came and told them about the empty tomb, it says that Peter got up and started running to the tomb, and John got there and started running with him. And it says that John outran him, got there, looked in, peeked in. When Peter went, Peter went all the way in. So it wasn't that Peter was off somewhere else. He was with them, yet not with them. And I believe by the Spirit of God, he was dealing with the stronghold of failure because, you see, none of the rest of them knew what had transpired. But he did. And oftentimes, we do. You see, I believe that there's some dynamics that happen as a result of whatever the failure is. And the first thing I want to submit to you is oftentimes when failure happens, we find ourselves in the fog of failure. The fog of failure, meaning we're in this place of confusion and bewilderment around what just happened. Why didn't it happen? And we can find ourselves just kind of going around and around and around because we're now trying to make sense of something that we thought was going to happen, thought we were going to do, thought we would never do, and yet we found ourselves in this place. And it can produce what Holy Spirit has helped me to see as the fog of failure. It's like you're trying to make sense of it, but there's a sense of confusion and a bewilderment, and it's hard to get your thoughts together. I believe that Jesus is recognizing this is where my boy is. This is where Peter is. And so what I love about when he says, tell the disciples and Peter, he's not singling Peter out because of what he did. He's singling Peter out because he knows what he's going through. And what I love about it is what he did for Peter was not just rope him back in or loop him back in with everybody else, but gave him a personal invitation. Let him know he's still my guy. He's saying to him, yeah, I know what happened, but don't disqualify yourself. And I'm talking to somebody right now. Don't disqualify yourself. God knows your story. God knows your journey. Don't disqualify yourself. You gotta come through the fog. I believe that he was dealing with the sense of if anybody ever finds out, does anybody know? Was anybody close? But Jesus was saying, tell the disciples and Peter, because I want Peter to know that he is not disqualified. You are not disqualified. You are not disqualified. Come on, say, I am not disqualified. So when you're navigating through that situation and you're trying to figure out, one thing you got to keep settled is this does not affect my relationship with God. The second thing that can set in is what I call the fate of failure. If you stay in the fog of failure too long, you can end up in the fate of failure. What do I mean, fate? I'm talking about where you land in a place where no matter what you do, it's inevitable that you will not succeed. It's the fate of failure that you just land in that place. That what's the use? It doesn't matter what I do. And because of where Peter was at, Jesus had to be very intentional in order to make sure that Peter did not disconnect, that he did not allow himself to be separated. See, you know where it says, where where he speaks to him, he says, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. See, that word sift means to separate. He's saying what the what the enemy wants to do with you is separate you now. And he's going to do it in a way that you begin to separate yourself. Even if you're not separating yourself bodily, you're separating yourself in your mind. You're separating yourself in your emotions. You're separating yourself in the sense of connection. You're in the room, but you're not in the room. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you. A wheat is sifted through it's called a sieve. And the wheat and tare are shook. And he's saying, this is what he wants to do to you. He wants to sift you like wheat, that you end off separated. The fate of failure, I have to believe that Peter, having walked through that, was probably thinking, I don't think I could ever get anything right again. Because he had denied Christ. And then there is the finality of failure. The finality of failure is where you land in the place where you believe you are a failure. See, it's one thing to fail. It's another thing to believe you're a failure. There's not one individual who has succeeded well who did not have to deal with some levels of failure along the way. But you and I have to recognize that when things happen that fit in the category of failure, it doesn't make you a failure. The finality of failure, you just land in that place, I'm just a failure. I'm never going to be anything. I'm never going to accomplish anything. And you have to be very, very, very aware when that feeling tries to come on you. Sometimes in parenting, you have children that just go away you never could have imagined. Do things you never thought they would do. Doesn't make you a failure at all. One of the things that Pastor Maurice and I had to accept, once our children became of age and were adults, guess what? They're adults. And they make their own decisions. And you have to let them make the decisions. And you know that you've done all that you can do for them. And then you trust God. You trust God. You trust God. You trust God. Marriages fail, but it doesn't make you a failure. Sometimes that kind of indictment the enemy wants to place on you. I believe that there were all these dynamics going on with Peter. And for that reason, Jesus said, I need to speak specifically to Peter. So when you go, say to the disciples and Peter, because I know where he is. He knows where you are. He knows where I'm at. He knows where we are. And he has a way by Holy Spirit of meeting us right in that place in order to break that stronghold of failure. You start a business and you're going down the road and you got everything planned and then it just doesn't happen. What do you do with that? Well, you got to get through the fog of failure. You got to get past the fate of failure. And you got to get past the finality of failure. Because only then can you arrive in the place where you're freedom from failure. Now, one of the things that I'm almost done here, one of the things that I love in this scenario, and I had never seen it until Wednesday, because Jesus knew exactly what Peter's role was going to be in the birthing of the church. See, that's why the enemy wanted him. When Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, immediately he had a target on him because the enemy recognized this boy can hear from God. Okay, we're going to have to watch him. But because of Peter's personality and some of the other things, it gave inroad for the enemy to be able to work. That's why when Jesus spoke to him and he said, Satan's desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He's found something in you. But I've prayed that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, when you've turned around, strengthen your brethren. What I love about it is when he brings them all back together, he singles Peter out one more time. And it's for good reason. In John 21, verse 15, it says this. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and can you imagine? You know, Peter, like, okay, here we go. I knew it was coming. But aren't you glad that Jesus never says to us, I told you so? Aren't you glad he never says, I told you? No, he doesn't live there. See, he has no need to be right. He is right. He's just right. What I love is what he does here. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my lambs. He said to him again a second time, say second time. Mm-hmm. Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, say third time. Mm-hmm. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, tend my sheep. I believe that what Jesus was addressing was he knew where Peter, exactly where he was. He knew what Peter was navigating through. And I believe what he did with each reach, with each question, he began to dismantle that stronghold of fear. That when he asked him the first time, do you love me? He was dismantling the fog of failure. He was bringing him out of that place of confusion and bewilderment. And any question he had in his mind of what Jesus really thought about him in light of what happened. And when he asked him the second time, he was dealing with the fate of failure, that inevitability that oftentimes makes us think God will never, ever be able to use me. Peter had to have that going on in his mind, but Jesus began to dismantle it by just three simple questions. Do you love me? And when he asked him the third time, do you love me? He was dealing with the finality of failure. He was helping to understand, Peter, you are not a failure. You are not a failure. He dealt with the fog of failure, the fate of failure, and the finality of failure. Because Jesus knew that I got to get him free of this failure, this stronghold of failure, because he's going to be the one to stand up on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 will come into my kingdom on that day. He's going to be the one that I send to Cornelius's house that will usher in salvation to the Gentiles. And so I say to you today that God is saying, I am breaking the stronghold of failure. I am breaking the stronghold of failure. I am breaking the stronghold of failure. You see, Peter was really ready to relegate himself to a lesser position. Little did he know. And for many of you, little do you know the role you have yet to play in the kingdom of God, in the advancement of the kingdom, souls coming into the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Come on, say with me, I am not a failure. There may be times in my life when I have failed, but I am not a failure. Thank God right now. Thank God right now. Thank God right now. Thank. Come on, thank God right now. If you're watching by way of live stream, thank God right now. This message is for somebody. You cannot allow yourself to live in that place. You can't live in the fog of failure. You can't live in the fate of failure. You can't land in the finality of failure. You see, what's interesting about the last time he asked Peter what he did. Peter, do you love me? See, Peter wasn't upset, but here's what Peter understood when he answered this, that he didn't understand when Jesus spoke to him about being sifted as wheat. And that is, he said, Lord, you know all things. I can't even try to fix my mouth to convince you, because you know all things. You already know. You already know. And he still calls us. So as believers, and this is my closing point, we must become a people who are resilient. The word resilience means an ability to recover from or adjust easily and quickly to misfortune or change. You're more resilient than you think you are. For some of you, you wouldn't be sitting here, except that you are, and that you have been. Any true advancement in life and in the kingdom, it can be business, it can be family, relationships. It takes resilience, the ability to recover from or adjust easily and quickly to misfortune or change. Just look at somebody and say, I'm more resilient than you think. Tell them that's why I'm sitting here. All right, my brother. Yes, sir. No, I need you to come down here because you're going to close out. So, Deborah, you can find something for me to play, but not anything really fast or up tempo, okay? As I was thinking through this whole thought. Yes, just bring it down for me. I thought about, anybody here golf? Golf. James, you don't golf? I just knew you golfed. Did you turn my mic down a little bit? Can you bring it back up? What happened? Where'd the music go? Right there, right there. Thank you. Those who play golf have to be some of the most resilient people on the planet. What'd you say? Because in the game of golf, you have the potential to fail 18 times if you play 18 holes. Because with each hole, there's a certain par. a certain number of strokes to get the ball in. If you get him in under par, you're doing great. If you make par, you're doing good. If you go over, you failed. But here's the discipline of golfers, and particularly professional golfers. Each hole is to itself. They play that hole, and if they just happen to not make par, between walking from that hole to the next hole, by the time they get to that next hole has nothing to do with the one they just played. There is a level of discipline that they have to be able to shift from what didn't happen to what still needs to happen. And they play that next hole as if it's that first hole. Say resilience. We are resilient people. Right now, I want to pray for those who would be just honest enough to say, you know, I think I've been dealing with some of this fog of failure, fate of failure, finality of failure, but I need to be free so that I can move forward. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. This is between you and the Lord. But I know how the enemy works, because I know what I have personally had to navigate through with buying this building. Because what the enemy would like to do is make you think you made a mistake and move you further into a place of failure. But he is a liar, and he's the father of lies. So therein lies the need to truly navigate through those feelings, be resilient, so that you're able to continue to move forward. See, that's what Paul was talking about when he says, though troubled on every side, not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but never destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in us. That's resilience. So right where you're at, if you just want to close your eyes, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you how that you continue to bring your word to us in ways and in seasons when we need it the most. And so even right now, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, that we are breaking the stronghold of failure. Father, I declare right now that the fog of failure is dissipating, and clarity and focus is coming into the minds of everyone who has been challenged in this area. Father, I pray and I thank you that the fate of failure is broken right now, that sense of inevitability that no matter what, it's inevitable that I will not succeed. I thank you for breaking it right now. I break the finality of failure right now, where the enemy would want us to think because we have failed, now we take it on and we are a failure. But I thank you right now and cast that lie out of the heart and mind of every individual. And Father, I thank you right now for freedom from failure. I thank you for freedom from failure. And I thank you that what you have purposed to do in our lives, you will accomplish just as what you purposed to do in Peter's life was accomplished. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name.